It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive, 4 o'clock hour. You know what that means. It's the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by David Britt Insurance. Let's go over there to the studios right now for Bear. Bear, take it away, my brother.
Number one, Trey, the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio, PGA Tour, is set to tee off tomorrow. Tiger Woods will make his first appearance since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. He is a five-time winner of the event and has been putting safety first. He said that he had wanted to wait and see how the first five tournaments were played during the coronavirus pandemic before committing to the Memorial via Twitter on July 9th. So he felt it was just better to stay at home and be safe, but feels comfortable heading back out to the course now.
So he's good to go. Are the other big names, like, is Phil playing in these tournaments?
Yeah, this is a big one.
This is the Memorial.
Tiger's off with tees off with Rory, McIlroy, Brooks Koepka for the first two rounds. There will be no fans, and I believe that they said that will go through the rest of the year. No fans in any PGA Tour event.
Wow. God, that sucks.
He said he knows that he's going to have to adapt to the change of not having the gallery. And he said that other players have described the scene to him as a very different world on the course.
It's like a practice round. I mean, it'd just kind of be like a regular round. I don't know. I look forward to it. You bring me Tiger Woods. You bring me ratings. You bring me have him in content on Sunday. I'll take it. So, excited to have him back in Dublin, Ohio, which I have no idea where Dublin, Ohio is.
I'm not sure either, to tell you the God's honest truth. I'm not that familiar with that.
I'll map
number
Western.
Two.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs have beaten the July 15th deadline to get a long-term deal hammered out. The defensive tackle has agreed to a mega extension with the franchise, and it will keep him with the club for the next 4 years. The deal is worth $85 million, and Jones will see $60 million of that guaranteed.
What the hell kind of money are the Chiefs working with around here?
The Patrick Mahomes contract was so flexible that it was able for him to kind of slide that in, and you know, with future contracts, they have the room at the moment. But they'll have to get creative in a couple of years. But he got up to $85 million. I think the base deal is $80 million, $5 million in incentives, $37 million due at signing. So locked
37
up
million when he signs his name.
Yep. Yeah, nice little signature value there.
See, I was watching Ballers the other night too. I'm like, all this makes sense. Like that, Bear, that is ridiculous. They have spent almost $600 million in contracts in the last 4 to 5 days.
Yeah, next year they're gonna have like three defenders making $20 million, I think, and up.
Yeah, I mean, they'll eventually run into cap problems, but the Mahomes deal is so, like Cam was saying, it's so. I mean, we talked about it at the time when it came out. It was very friendly to the Chiefs as far
especially
as
especially early on.
Goes.
So
yeah,
but yeah. I don't think they'll really have any big issues till about 2022. These next couple of years, they're pretty set. So
they're good then. For
yeah,
now.
It's if they want to make a dynasty, they're set up to do it pretty well at the moment.
That's a damn smart GM.
Yeah, yeah, and hey, I'd say Mahomes gets some credit too for. Instead of just trying to, you know, max out his full potential there, which it seems like he did when you sign a $500 million contract, but he did a very team-friendly deal because he wanted to, you know, help keep the team relevant.
His agent is Lee Steinberg, by the way. Number three, Bear. That was good, actually.
Number three, first-year FAU coach Willie Taggart just got a big-time commitment on the recruiting trail from a very familiar name. I hope I'm saying this right. Shador Sanders, son of former Florida State and NFL great Deion Sanders, four-star quarterback out of Trinity Christian School in Cedar Hill, Texas, which I believe is the same place
isn't
that Caden Salter's out of.
Cedar Hill.
Made the official announcement on his Twitter account. He's a 14th ranked pro style quarterback and I guess 219th overall player.
Wait, for what class though? This class? 21?
2021.
Yep.
So he's a rising senior.
They didn't play at the same high school though. Caden and this
kid. Just in the same town.
Okay. Wow, that produces some hella quarterbacks. Wow, okay, Willie Taggart, FAU, getting himself a dime at quarterback. That's
he's
fantastic.
Pretty high-rated prospect, and he was like, FAU was the first place to kind of give him an offer and kind of entertain the idea of him playing at the, you know, D1 level, so he kind of stuck with it.
The only bad part about it is you're going to have Dion around every day of practice, like yelling and cutting up and stuff. Like, that would be kind of annoying.
I'm sure it would be cool for some of the kids, though. I guess, they're probably a little young to really, like, fully appreciate Dion.
Well, he's been on
the
NFL Network and everything.
Still kind of starstruck, I think, they'll be a little bit.
Well, it's like Ken Griffey's son played for, was it UCF?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was UCF, and Ken Griffey would always disguise himself as a photographer every game on the sidelines. So I thought that's a pretty good one, Bear. I didn't know he had signed, man. They produced some good quarterbacks. So good for Willie Taggart. He needs to turn that crap around down there.
Absolutely. And number four, really scary, kind of scary story out of Colorado. A squirrel has tested positive for the bubonic plague, also known as the Black Death.
Oh, my God.
A squirrel was found in a town in Jefferson County, which is west of Denver, and is the first case in the region, health authorities have said. And this comes on the heels of authorities in a city in the Chinese region of Inner Mongolia after a hospital reported a case of suspected bubonic plague in a human.
So just a random squirrel in Colorado got the bubonic plague.
Yeah, it comes from like ticks and fleas, so I'm sure it had some disease, tick or something on it that kind of led to that, but they pop up every once in a while. I wouldn't be super worried until it gets a little more cases, but...
Well, I'm not really worried. It's just weird that a squirrel would end up... Whatever,
glad
man.
Glad the squirrel went in for testing.
2020's been so damn weird. Like, it really doesn't matter now. Like, Superman could die from getting hit by a car, and nothing would surprise me anymore. So, besides the fact Superman's not real. Bear, that's awesome. That was a good top 4-4, brother.
Thank you.
That was brought to you by David Britt Insurance. Go get your life insurance. Go get your health insurance. Go get everything taken care of with David Britt. Longtime sponsor. We appreciate him, everything that he does for us. Just gave away a badass vacation to Daytona Beach, Florida, using his condo. And all you had to do was go sign up on his website. Such a great dude. We appreciate him being a part of the drive, and that was brought to you by him. I got breaking news, Bear. Out of the Major League Baseball world, and I don't follow Major League Baseball enough to know how big this is, though I know how big the name is, but maybe he's dropped off in the last year or two. Yasiel Puig has signed with the Atlanta Braves.
Re-signed? Wasn't he a Brave?
No.
He was a Dodger.
Yeah, he had been a Dodger, and I think he had played at the Angels.
He signed that fat contract.
He's a guy with a really bad temper, right?
Yeah. He used to play for the Reds most recently. Thanks, Folky, for that.
The Reds?
Yeah, but he had bounced around, I think, a couple years after being with the Dodgers, and the Braves did have one of their outfielders opt out of the season. So I guess he's kind of just going to be the replacement there. He's not the same player as when he was.
Okay, so that's what I'm getting at. Like that,
it's not like they just signed like a massive superstar. Like the name's still big, but he's not the same player he was. But still pretty solid,
dude.
Reds and Indians. Last year.
I'm sorry. Appreciate this is the funniest stuff. So, you guys remember last week when the Kansas City liquor store owner broke the story about Patrick Mahomes, the company. Buying all the bottles of champagne coming in the store. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he pretty much broke the news that Patrick Mahomes had signed a deal.
Yeah.
There is a random Twitter dude named – not he's not random. He's a dude. Whatever. His name's Brian Chandler. Got about 300 followers. He's out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. He tweeted at 2:11 today. Not to alarm anyone, but I'm 99% positive Yasiel Puig walked out of the Omni Hotel in the Battery, which is in Atlanta, walked past me and got in the back of an Uber. Big muscular man, same hair, same face. Don't want to be that guy that breaks something wrong, but Puig to the Braves, ?
Man was on it. Yeah, if he's it's at the Battery, again. The Battery's right there.
It happened again, dude. I am absolutely...
Maybe we get a call from Big Josh, get his thoughts on it, a resident baseball expert.
I'd really like to know...
What Puig to the Braves.
Yeah, I'd really like to know what fans think about that, because I see... From somebody that kind of follows the sport from afar, I see Puig as a big name because of the fat contract that he signed with the Dodgers a couple years ago. But now he's floated around, gone to the Reds. Now he's going to the Braves. Like, it's weird. Like, are these teams taking his contract with him everywhere he goes? So, like, are the Braves getting him for cheap now because most of his contract's been paid off?
I think so, yeah, because, like – with baseball being all guaranteed, I think the Dodgers are on the hook for all that. Especially because I think he was a free agent now. So, like, it's just whatever the Braves are paying him. But, yeah, they had, I think it was Nick Markakis was the guy. It was the guy that opted out of the season. So, I guess he's kind of just filling that role. And I don't know. He's a kind of a polarizing figure. Like, I was talking to some of my friends that are Braves fans, and he's like, yeah, I don't really like the guy personally, but I guess we'll take him. So...
I don't.
It'll be very interesting. I don't know. I'm sure Braves fans are on either side of the fence on like the signing.
You're from Atlanta. Do you follow the Braves?
A little bit. I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I got plenty of friends that do, so I kind of hear it in secondhand. And I'll go to a game every now and then when I can. But
do you go to Falcons games?
Oh yeah. I'm there a lot.
He's a psycho Falcons fan.
I know you're a fan.
New Orleans Saints hater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're a Saints hater.
I am. Very proud of that.
Didn't we put an ass whipping on y'all last year?
We also beat y'all in New Orleans when we were like 2-10.
Okay,
so
stuff happens. We weren't focused on that game.
And y'all only won by a score on the Thanksgiving game in Atlanta. I was there for that.
Were you really?
Yeah, we got... 3 onside kicks that game, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
It was bonkers to watch in person. But, yeah.
You know what stinks? You're not going to be able to go and watch Atlanta United game or a Falcons game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year.
That's what's really make me sad. I was really looking forward to going to a Falcons game this year. They got some good games. Like, I was going to try and go to Dallas and watch the Falcons play the Cowboys out there, but...
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Not looking like that's going to happen this year.
Well, the news that came out of... the Patriots today, and now that, it's gone, but it was there earlier. The Patriots released today that they're saying, and I'm pulling it back up when it comes to overall, they're only going to sit 20% of their fan base in the stands, and then they're only going to block off, so each section will be right around 10 blocks of tickets. So they're only going to allow 20% of their capacity into their stadium this year.
And then they're going to be spread out throughout the stadium, correct?
Right, and they're going to do blocks of 10 and maybe 5.
They were requiring masks as well, too, right?
Yeah, the Patriots announced that their stadium capacity for this season, if fans are allowed to attend, would be about 20% of its total capacity per game. Tickets will be arranged in blocks of 10 seats or less, and face coverings will be required at all times inside the stadium. So 20%, that's a 70,000-seat stadium. What are we getting at? Like, math is bad on the fly for me. Are we talking 14,000? Something like that?
14,000, yeah.
About what the Ravens announced?
Yeah.
So now, is the All-Star race tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 8:30, Bristol, Tennessee.
They're still planning on putting 30,000 people in there?
Yeah.
As of today, yes, they are. I know of a good amount of folks that have tickets to that tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to get up there. I don't know timing-wise if I'm going to be able to make it happen. But we're going to find out.
Like any kind of... Any kind of special rules that, you know?
You got to wear a face mask.
So you do have to wear a mask.
Yeah, I'll bring up all the rules.
I'm assuming they're going to try and spread everybody out, which, you know, 30,000 in that place, you know.
Looks like a...
Yeah, I mean, you can get them spread out easy in there.
Yeah, so. No, I agree. Let me try to pull it up for you, because they sold right around... That much is the best. Let's see. So, if they're selling 30 out of that, well, here's the policy. Oh, also, by the way, they make you sign a waiver.
Makes sense.
To go in.
Indemnifying them and from any kind of liability if you get the Rona up there.
Yeah, so here's kind of what it is for tomorrow night. Guests are encouraged and may be required to wear a cloth face covering. Guests may be required to submit to non-contact temperature. Okay. They're going to be presented a brief questionnaire prior to entry just to confirm they are not currently experiencing symptoms. Okay, folks can lie. I don't know what the hell that's going to do. Guests are reminded to wash their hands. Who cares? Need to anyways. Let's see. In addition, the further... Protect the health and safety of our guests and employees. You will not be admitted to the Speedway and you should stay home if within the past 14 days you have tested positive, somebody's tested positive, blah, blah, blah. Here it is, Bear. Waiver. Assumption of risk. We appreciate your cooperation as we strive to make the guest experience as safe as possible for all. Although preventive measures set forth by the facility are intended to help reduce the spread of COVID, we cannot guarantee you will not be exposed during your visit. Key sentence here. By purchasing tickets to and attending this event at the Speedway, you acknowledge the risk above, and you acknowledge to buy all the rules, blah, blah, blah. So, you're signing a waiver to get in there tomorrow night.
And you're still trying to go?
Trying and being able to make it's really it. Hard understatement. I mean, I got a show here till 6. It starts at 8:30. I could probably be there by 7:30.
Yeah, about 7:30, 8 o'clock at the latest. I mean, there's not going to be any traffic.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go. And I'll be honest with you, I probably won't go, but the opportunity is there if I wanted to. But I just don't think it's going to be worth it. The All-Star races aren't long, so it's not like I'm going up there to watch a big Bristol race. I'm going up there to watch 50 laps on a duel. And then probably a 75 to 100 lap race. So, I mean, you know, I can support Cuz from afar. Even though, I will say this, Bear, even though a Bristol All-Star race would probably be pretty fun, $1 million and you're bumping and grinding on that track, probably a lot of damaged cars tomorrow night. Oh, by the way, they're going Fast and the Furious tomorrow night and lighting up underneath their cars. And then they're also putting numbers at the back of their car. On the quarter panel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it. It should be interesting. So,
yeah, but I don't
Big Josh says there's not a lot of buzz about it up there right now.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. That kind of surprises me. I don't know why it surprised me. I guess it's just because of the name. But I guess everybody has a big, if you're a big player, you've got a big name to start off in your career sometimes. I guess he's falling that far off. That just surprises me. Big time. I don't know, Bear. I don't know. It's kind of how I feel. excuse me. So the ACC is kind of feeling kind of special. Mm-hmm. They've come out and announced their... They're going to play the FSU-Notre Dame game on Sunday, September 5th, and not Labor Day night on the 6th. Don't know really why they feel like they wanted to announce that. Like, they're getting that.
But they are going to play it?
No, that they switched nights.
Okay.
Excuse me. Pretty much they're doing what the other teams have done in the past. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, Tennessee moved their game up from, like, a what was it, Saturday night to a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And they moved it back to like a Thursday night that one year for Appalachian State.
Yeah.
FSU and Notre Dame want prime time by themselves that Sunday night. So they moved their game to the 5th and not Labor Day night. The 6th.
Makes sense.
But it's like you're giving false hope. Like you're just putting this out there. Hey, we rescheduled the game. Go book your hotels now. Get your tickets. By the way, we don't even know if we're playing football or not.
Yeah,
it's interesting. They're still announcing stuff like that.
what are you doing? What's the point? Like, what's the point right now? Like, that's what I'm having a hard time working around is I get you're moving these games up. But when you really look at it and take a step back, I think if Oklahoma goes the way of moving their game back a week, I think Tennessee should do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
If Tennessee and Oklahoma in 3 weeks, if we have somehow got Tennessee and Oklahoma still on the schedule, I would have hoped, and I know there's been talks about this. I know there has been talks at the school, potentially, and they've spoken with Charlotte about this. These are potential talks, okay? But if they move that game back to, let's call it week zero, is what they like to call it, I think Tennessee should do the same. Go into Norman, Oklahoma on a level playing field.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you want to give them that 1 week advantage. I mean,
no.
There's no point in doing it if you can, make the same shift.
Let's be real honest with each other. Charlotte's a hell of a lot better than Missouri Valley State.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Who Oklahoma's opened up against. Tennessee's got Will Healy. It's going to be tough. You got Montario Hardesty coaching there. This will be a group ready to go compared to playing Missouri State out of the Missouri Valley Conference, but then also having a week to and also, I'm not buying Oklahoma's excuse of, well, we needed a week just in case COVID came back. No, you didn't.
They're scheming.
You saw an opportunity to grab a week of extra preparation and downtime for your players. So, I don't know. We'll talk about that with Josh Pate. He's coming up next. 247 Sports. Late kick. Josh is going to join us. Talk about the SEC football, everything going on with scheduling around the country, and a lot more. We're rolling along here. It's Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along here today. I'm excited. I always like talking to Josh. He knows what he's talking about. His videos are great. He gets into it with people. Last night we had the president calling Nick Saban Lou Saban, which I know everybody was probably wondering what in the world was going on. Everybody got a kick out of it. Let's bring him on right now. Josh Pate joins us. Josh, have you had any meltdowns yet from Lou Saban throwing oatmeal pies at people yet, trying to fix his name?
Well, what's funny about that whole deal is, if you've ever been around Nick Saban and you've heard him talk about his father, who was Lou Saban, it's very possible that while fans may have been in an uproar over that, Nick Saban possibly took it as a bigger compliment than being called Nick. That's how crazy that whole situation was.
That's actually a good point. I didn't even think about that. That's actually, I don't know. I could just see Nick Saban just picking up an oatmeal pie and chucking it, at the screen. But it is what it is. Josh, yesterday, the SEC holds this meeting in Atlanta with all the athletic directors. They talked about a lot more than they just released from a statement. You got the Big Ten. I don't want to say the Big Ten jumped the gun, but the Big Ten sure as hell didn't let a lot of people know what was going on, Josh, when all this stuff went down. Can you kind of wrap up in your mind, in your opinion, what's going on in the last 5 days and how we got to the point of even getting up to a meeting with all the ADs yesterday?
You said that more happened than was expressed in the statement. I believe that so much that I didn't even read the statement they put out. I didn't even bother to look at it. So you're right about that. I think what happened with the Big Ten, it's very fair to say they jumped the gun. No one was surprised that they went the route they went. That's not the surprise. The surprise, talking to people directly in the league offices, plural, was they did it with literally no heads up. And it was one of those deals where everyone thought they were operating in good faith. Everyone thought that, you know, we're kind of in this together. It's like every ad that you see from major companies talking about COVID right now, they make sure you know that we're in this together. And that's how conferences thought they were acting. And then the Big Ten just kind of says, no, we're going rogue on this one. And since we're going to play conference games only, we're really not going to concern ourselves with what anyone else thinks because we're closing the door. It's our bubble here now, and we're just going to take care of us. So that was somewhat of a surprise in the timing sense. In the sense of principle, right now it's viewed as not an if, but when most conferences follow that. I really think that they're still trying to hold out in the SEC and the ACC to get some form of an out-of-conference structure in place and put it at the back end of the schedules and just put it to where if we have to sacrifice those dates, okay, ultimately, as long as we can get a minimum of 6 conference games in where everyone plays a division opponent and we can ensure that we have a conference champion crowned and we're able to maintain our conference championship game, we'll revisit all the stuff on the back end of the schedule later in November, but right now let's just make sure we get the plane off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And then I look at it, I kind of made the point last week where there's probably going to be an emergency landing sometime after you get that plane off the ground. And in my opinion, it's how long is that plane down for until they can get things back rolling. So when I asked a couple folks, you know, in the last couple of days and late last week about this, the conference-only scheduling part, with the SEC, man, Josh, that'd be a bit interesting because I don't know if you would actually add teams to the schedule. Like, if you tried to go 10 games or whatnot, you'd have to figure out a couple more opponents for, let's just talk about Tennessee, since we're right here. You'd have to find what? Like an LSU, a Mississippi State, somebody that, I mean, they're already playing Arkansas this year. They're already playing Alabama. So you'd have to find somebody in rotation. Is it viable that they go conference only, or they could somehow go division only and then turn around and try to play some kind of championship game?
I think it's possible that, well, here's the reality. The reality, and we've had it expressed to us from people inside the actual schedule-making and decision-making processes at the SEC at least, is the baseline that you have to have is you got to get the 6 division games in. Then from there, you work up to what is realistic and what is ideal, and what's ideal for them, I think, will be either a 9-game conference schedule with 1 out-of-conference, probably partnered with the ACC, or just a 10-game all-conference schedule. And I think that there are a couple of ways, there are multiple ways to really skin that cat, but the most popular talking point or sentiment that I had heard within the last week was if they go the 10-game route, you got your 6 division opponents, and then take who you were already going to play this year, so 2 more cross-division, and then that leaves 2 other games, and what they were going to try to do, or one route they were going to try and go is, just look down the road at who you would have played in coming years and try and keep it as on schedule as possible. Of course, there are a lot of tie-ins and a lot of speed bumps in that route. So the other direction that they probably thought about going, as far as I can tell, is just doing it purely by lottery, and that could end up in a disaster because, I mean, someone's going to end up playing Vandy in Kentucky, someone's going to end up playing Georgia in Florida. So that could be a disaster. So I don't really know necessarily which route they're going to go. I will say this, you know, everyone is kind of bummed out that we won't get a quote-unquote regular season. You know, if we're able to get 10 SEC games as our season, I tweeted that out the other day, and it goes off without a hitch, you know, I'm not quite sure if people realize how insane that kind of season would be.
Especially, here's how I look at that too. Especially if a school, we'll say Tennessee again, especially if like Tennessee ends up getting, you know, because you're going to have to go home and away, you know, so you have to figure that part out. So they're already playing Arkansas and they're already playing Alabama. What if Tennessee somehow draws LSU and Mississippi State or LSU and Auburn and that's added to your schedule? I mean, that's just about as good as having the Oklahoma game taken away. I mean, you're making up for it just because the SEC West has so many decent teams that would actually draw ratings and be categorized as a big-time game.
Well, outside of Arkansas, I mean, Arkansas is the only team that would be thought to be just a layup, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the West. If you're an Eastern Division team, by default, your schedule is going to be more difficult. You're going to have more quality opponents on it. In most years, if you look at the typical schedule, you've got your six division games, which if you play in the SEC, every one of those games is a quality opponent.
Right.
And then maybe you've got like one or two decent out-of-conference games, but most of the time these schedules only consist of seven or eight, maybe nine high-caliber games, mid-to-high-caliber games. Now, if you're playing 10, there are no off weeks down here. And if you're South Carolina or Tennessee or Georgia, like, who are you, outside of Arkansas, who are you drawing? Even if you draw the Mississippi schools, you got Leach or you got Kiffin, both in their first years. A&M sells itself, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, they all sell themselves. And if you're talking about playing more than one, which we are, cross-division game, like, that is a, it could potentially be a brutal schedule.
I just have to wonder, man, you know, we're sitting here in mid-July right now, and, you know, we had conversations 2 months ago where it's like, oh, man, you know, I pray we have the season. We got to do everything and anything we can to get to the season. I mean, Josh, we're 2.5 away from the start of fall camp. And I look at this thing, and I have to wonder, so I ask you this question, are we too far deep into this thing now where the only likely outcome is a postponement or just going conference only? Or do you think somehow over the next – I know you're not a doctor, so I ask this question just to ask you. Over the next 3 to 4 weeks, if things get turned around, man, can we somehow salvage anything we have? Because I don't know how you trot those players out for fall camp and fall practice if you can't 100% tell them that you're going to be playing Labor Day weekend or you're going to be playing the weekend after that. They are risking too much, Josh.
I'll be candid with you. I think a lot of this is being done right now. A lot of the decisions are being made or being postponed much more out of the fear of public backlash than they are tangible data and health risk data that someone's looking at in front of them. Because honestly, it feels like those goalposts change day to day, so to speak. No pun, well, I guess pun intended. What I think is happening is I think like in the SEC league office, and this is the same approach I would take, by the way, so this is not criticism. I think they are waiting to the last possible moment, knowing that there's no harm in changing the schedule at the last minute. They're waiting to the last possible moment, hoping not that there's some drastic change in what reality is, because reality is reality.
Right.
They are hoping for a drastic change in perception over the next 2 weeks. Don't even know what that would be. I mean, there's a headline out of Florida today that testing has been flawed. I don't even know what it would be, but you're hoping for a sea change and things look to be on the uptick to where you can reasonably say, okay, in light of this new quote-unquote information, we feel good about starting fall camp. And that's how you hope things go. You're just kind of, you're waiting on things to go your way in lieu of looking at a piece of paper with a bunch of numbers on it and saying, okay, we've met the critical mass of numbers here or there that we needed, so now the season is a go.
Josh, I had an SEC player direct message me, and they were kind of replying to an article that I was putting out in regards to mask and playing football in the fall. How far deep are we into things? Is there enough time? And I don't know if you had a chance to reach. I'll read you the quote part that he sent me. He said, "It's been almost 5 months of coronavirus. If folks don't know by now, I don't know when they will. My mental association with what's going on is to prepare to be ready regardless." I take that as in, man, you know, they don't quite know really what to expect. They don't know if they're going to have a season. They're still going at this, but also they're like, what are we supposed to do? I know for a fact that universities have asked some of their players to do these PSAs. Everybody, please wear a mask. Please wear a mask. And you've had some players turn down, you know, and not wanting to do that. And I get it because they don't want to – the replies would just be disgusting. Let's be real honest if they did put out something like that. But some guys just don't know, so they're not willing to do that. What is your opinion on the power that the players have right now in this situation? And also, Josh, they're going to this, and they don't know what's going on, man. They're just being told what the coaches tell them. They don't know much about the disease unless they're doing their own kind of research. So I just wonder, when we really look at it, player safety, man, that's going to be so big over the next 3 weeks. I want your opinion on the testing that's been done around the country and what you've seen from results. And then also, how do, in your opinion, masks play into this if we're going to have football in September?
I'll work from the back to the front.
Yeah, that's
so
cool. Yeah.
From the standpoint of how masks play into it, I don't even know. Because I'll tell you what we haven't had a conversation about lately. It seems people are just resigned to this. We haven't had a conversation about fans in the stadium. Now it's just, let's get the games happening, and fans irrelevant to whether we can get them in or not. And that was one of the big concerns initially, was how are people going to go to games safely? Well, now kind of reality set in, and it's probably not a thing we're going to have to worry about. And so then you start asking about players and their perspective. And you said, you know, they don't know much other than what they're being told on campus. And you know what? In a lot of ways, they're no different than a lot of other folks I see running their mouth about this stuff. I mean, I graduated with folks that barely made it out of Harris County High School and can't separate there, and there, who are trying to school me on infectious disease on Facebook or Twitter. So with all due respect to a lot of folks out there,
right,
you know, the 0.1% are qualified to talk, and the 99.9% aren't, yet we know who's running their mouth the most. So from that standpoint, I think the players are probably as educated as pretty much any of our buddies are on it. But I will say this. You got to understand, if you're in their world, I mean, that is having blinders on like a racehorse. When you're getting ready for a football season, you don't focus on anything else. And so to a certain extent, they probably feel like they are flying blind, because they're not updating Twitter every 2 minutes. I mean, if you're putting in work out there to try and keep in mind, we're just worried about a season.
Right.
They're worried about making it to the NFL. Like, their entire career, their entire livelihoods are still on the line with what we're talking about. So I don't blame folks, to be honest with you, for not wanting to do a PSA, or maybe not feeling like they're fully dialed in and just kind of waiting to be told what to do, because I don't know that I would be any different if I was a player.
I agree with you, and that's kind of why I wanted your opinion on that. Just because there's so much uncertainty of what's going on right now, you know, and especially with 18 to 22-year-old young men or young women, you know, and all the sports that are going on between cross country and all that good stuff and track and field. It's a lot more going on than just football. And I know everything's football, 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 but the SEC also released a statement saying, you know, soccer's been postponed, volleyball been postponed, cross country been postponed to August 31st. Like, this is affecting other sports that, be real honest, college football does pay for, but also you have to look at the work that these students put in as well. So I agree with you, putting on blinders and continuing to just work and just try to get to that point. So it gets me to my next question. Two more, and I'll let you go. When you look at the way things are going in the Pac-12, and then you take a look at the ACC, and, you know, it's kind of floating around with the Big 12, you know, the dominoes falling, starting with the Big 10, does this thing continue on? Like, is there just going to be too much pressure on the SEC to say, hey, you know what? Like, if the SEC came out and went full WWE heel and said, we're playing our non-conference games, we're doing this all, we're going to make the plan, we're going to stick to it, how much heat would they take? But also, do you think other teams would actually jump aboard that proposal?
Well, here's the problem, and I can tell you this is a daily concern with people in that league office. You got to be careful handcuffing yourself to Twitter. Twitter is not real life.
Thank you.
Twitter is not an ocean. Twitter is this little pond that you walk past in your office lobby that people mistake as an ocean. And you got a lot of blue check marks that tend to make you feel like you're drowning in an ocean of heat, when in reality you could be making a decision that the vast majority of people are silently sitting there going, good for you, over. And so you got, this is why in our business, for example, it is so imperative that you know your audience, because you'll never hear from 99% of your audience. Even if you take calls every day and you open your inbox up every day, you will not hear from 99% of them, yet you have got to know them. And just as is the case when you run a league, you better know who you're answering to. You're not answering to sports writers. you're answering to your student athletes first and foremost. You're answering to your member institutions, but they are answering to their fan bases, because really at the end of the day, to hop off everyone's moral high horse for a second, if you don't have them, you don't have a product that's worth anything. It's not worth $100, much less $10 billion. So I'm saying all that to say, don't act reckless, but don't bow to the whims of what some sports writer or 50 sports writers are going to tweet about you or not. That's not who you're responsible to.
You kind of hit it right on the head, brother. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think sometimes things are taken a little bit too far. But also, I do think that there are too many experts on Twitter, social media, and Facebook. And the bad problem about this is, Josh, we get told to stick to sports a lot, okay? Well, the problem is this has trickled into sports. This is a part of sports now. So the fact that we have to either comment on it or put stories out or talk about it, it's not that we're politicizing it. It's not that we're taking sides on it. This is our life right now, Josh. Like, you know this. Like, if there's not a college football season, that means there might not be jobs for us. So that's where I get off on the point of people trying to say, well, the sports media is just attacking and they don't want, you know, college football to happen. They want anarchy. They don't want this, this, and this. That's where I think we've hit a dump when it comes to social media, Josh. And I don't know how you fix it, to be honest with you.
Well, the way you fix it, and it's hard, man, because I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm doing national shows three times a week plus a national podcast.
Right.
And there is the temptation to want to weigh in on everything. But I have learned more and more, and I'm not some 50-year veteran in this industry, but I've learned more and more, one of the biggest skills you can develop, regardless of how much people want you to have a take on something, is just to have the ability to say, I don't know. Because I think in the long run, people respect you more for being authentic than they respect you more for just running to the nearest hot mic and giving a take because you think you have to give a take. Dude, I don't know anything about infectious disease. Okay, I'm not a data expert. I don't run analytics. I outsource it. I get people to do our analytics because it is a blind spot for me.
Yeah.
So I have maintained the entire, I have not had what you would call a single hot take on this issue the entire way. And I won't until I feel like I'm well-versed enough to talk about it. If we're talking about the left tackle position for Alabama, I'll go off all day on that. But this is not it for me. So, man, it may cost me a few views in the short term, but I don't know. I think we'll work out in the long term.
Sorry, Josh. Dr. Fauci's got me about 10 million miles, bro. So I'm staying away from it if I can.
I think we'll be okay in the long run.
I do too, buddy. Hey, Josh, please tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can follow your podcast, your video show, all the great work that you do.
Yeah, and it's not just me. We got a lot of folks doing a lot of great work.
Oh, I know you do. What you do good, man. Come on.
I got you. I'm just reading off my cue cards, right? You know how it is. the best place to go, honestly, is the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. Subscribe. It is free. Everything I ask you to do is free. And you can follow me on Twitter, too. At Late Kick Josh. We do Late Kick every Thursday and Sunday night live on that YouTube channel. I do an extra podcast on Wednesday, The Late Kick with Josh Pate. So a lot of synergy. It's the same name no matter where you go.
Josh, you do fantastic work, man. I really appreciate you joining us. Stay safe there in the mid-state. I just saw where if you're not wearing your mask starting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you get a $50 fine. So don't be racking up any fines, Josh, okay?
That doesn't sound like me.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
All right, man.
All right, bud. Josh Pate, fantastic guest. I love Josh. So much fun. He really brings it all around. Great guy. Let's pop a break. My producer's looking at me with a weird eye. And then I have some news coming out about the University of Tennessee Pride of the Southland marching band. Whatever. We'll talk about it on the other side.
The Drive,
Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Real quick, before we get to Philly, I don't know how much this means to you. Some of the folks out there might have people in the Pride of the Southland band, but they just posted on Facebook. I just saw a video in a group chat I'm in. You'll be able to sign up for designated move-in times beginning tomorrow. They spoke with housing. You can move in from the 9th through the 15th. Here's the key thing. We're still waiting for a decision by UT Athletics and the SEC about football season, and more immediately, how this will affect the starts for band camp. Please continue. So if you're looking forward to the Pride of the Southland this year, there's kind of an update for you. Just thought I'd throw that in there, kind of spice things up. Bear, we got Philly on the line, brother.
That should be interesting.
Philly, what up?
Let's go to Phil. What's going on, guys? Hanging in. How about you, man?
I'm hanging in there. There's been a lot of fake media today saying that Florida has no talent and that Tennessee has a chance of winning. What do you think about that?
Wait, what?
I would never say that Florida has no talent. I know that they're not at the same level that they normally are, which is, you know, stocked full of 4 and 5 stars at every position.
Well, really, Florida hadn't been the same since Urban Meyer's there, but to still, whipping our fanny.
I haven't seen this. I think Florida is definitely good at a couple of different position spots, but I think Tennessee is good as well. I think this thing ends up, if we play a football season, I think it ends up being a 3-team race for the SEC East.
Because
you're going to get Florida at home. If somehow you could beat Florida at home in September, you got an up. Because then you don't play Georgia until November. And really, really, let's be honest, the toughest game Tennessee is going to play between the Florida game in September and the Georgia game near the end of November is Alabama.
Yeah.
It's Alabama. Like, you can go beat Arkansas. It's Alabama. So really, really, if you break it down, you're looking at, if you can beat Florida, you're looking at Cannon Bear, one potential SEC loss between September and then November, if you can take care of Arkansas.
If Gimpo plays well, that's what you're trying to say. If he don't, then there's 2 or 3, maybe 4 losses in there, because he's good. He can play bad enough to keep the other team in the game.
He can.
There you go. One more thing, since we got much time here, this Cade Mays and UT crap. UT just looks inept and, you know, stupid compared to other SEC schools right now. Until they get that straight, then they're going to big time over here.
Yeah, well, Phil, what were they supposed to do? His attorney left him May 8th. I talked to his attorney last night, his former attorney, Tom Mars. He dipped out May 8th, so he had the full case, and then he had to hand the case over that he was working on to other legal counsel and compliance. So
why didn't they do that a long time ago?
Because that all just happened. I don't know. I agree they took too long.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I agree they took too long.
Trey, I mean, let's get real.
No, I agree they took too long, but also their attorney dipped, so kind of screwed Cade over. Philly, I appreciate it, man.
All right, see you.
Thanks, Bo. We got Dr. Bill Maurice coming up, Bear. I look forward to this after your top 5 at 5. Going to be a really fun 5 o'clock hour. So join us. Other side. Peace. The Drive.